with you with us. We appreciate all who are here visiting with us. We thank you for being here. It's a privilege having you be with us. And we hope that while you're with us, it be an encouragement to you. We've already went through some songs as we together took time to remember that great sacrifice that the Lord had made for us. And as we're about to enter into our lesson, I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. Make sure the truth is being taught. Anything that is said during our worship or about our worship here or in the lesson, please bring that to our attention. We'll happily study further with you. Scripture reading came from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where it tells us that we need to be following in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? It says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." And I want to ask the question this morning, what does that mean? What does it mean to follow in his steps? Many might come up with a variety of different answers when you take time to answer that question. What does it look like when I'm following Jesus? I'm following our Lord. A lot probably go towards love, right? That one is loving, one is kind, one is forgiving, one is merciful. But it doesn't stop there either, right? We also talk about putting on the whole armor of God. And if someone is putting on the armor of God, well, then they're in a battle. They're in a fight, right? You're standing against the wiles of the devil. You're standing against the false doctrines of this world. And so, therefore, it's not a time of just timid, but a time of boldness, a time of courageous action, right? We take time and we study through the Old Testament a lot often, and we look at David, and we look at Joshua, and we look at Gideon, and the battles and the fights that they had went into, the victory that they had in the name of God. Those things are also following the example of our Lord and Savior. So I titled the lesson, "The Lion and the Lamb." Right, because Jesus was both. When we talk about our Lord and Savior, we often talk about him being the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that went to the cross, the Lamb that we picture as a innocent and helpless, you might say, animal that needs a shepherd, that needs protection, that it is easily to be killed by another animal. But then you have the Lion of Judah, the Lion that stands and is able to defeat other animals, to be the king, to go forth and protect his tribe. And I tell you this morning that Jesus is both of those things, and therefore we following in his footsteps, we following in the example of Christ, that we are going to be both. We're going to be like lions at times. We're going to be like lambs at times. That time and moment, right, circumstances define which one we should be acting like when, right? And so, again, I ask that you open up your Bibles, follow along and see this. And so I want to make sure we understand that there are many verses that tell us to be like Christ. That's my first point. Again, the verse that we have already read there in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then Charlie went ahead and read a few extra verses there in chapter 2 as we took our mind and prepared for the Lord's Supper. And you look at the examples there. You look at the point about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he had went through, right? When we're saying we should follow in his footsteps, you pick up in verse 22, it says, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he had reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live in righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And so we follow in the footsteps of Christ, that we strive to be like him. Him who committed no sins, never fell short once. Well, that applies there in verse 24, right? We have died to sins. While we're not perfect as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was perfect, but we strive to be like him, right? We came to him so that his blood will wash our sins away. And as our sins are washed away, we sin no more.
We die to sin. We try to overcome the temptations that Satan puts at our door to walk around the snares and not get caught in them. We put on the armor of Christ so that we'll be able to stand in that day and boldly fight the good fight that is in front of us. We follow in the footsteps of Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 6. 1 John chapter 2 and looking there and in verse 6. It says, he who says abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. Right? For the person who claims and says with his mouth that he abides in Christ, I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's servant. I am a child of God. If you make those claims, if you say that yourself, then it says something else you ought to do then. You ought to walk as he walked. It's not enough to just talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk, right? You have to act like Christ. You can't just say, well, I accept his love. I accept his sacrifice. I accept the forgiveness, and I want to be, you know, his servant. I want to go to heaven and spend eternity with Christ and with the Father and with the Spirit, with all who are saved. But then as you live your lives here on earth, you don't act nothing like him. Right? You have to walk the walk. You have to walk just as Christ walked upon this earth. You have to be like him. You have to transform yourself to be like Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and looking there and in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 3, and looking at verse 18. Here it reads, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As the veil is pulled back, as we start to see the truth and we learn who our Lord is, we see the commands, we see what he has done for us, then we are to be transformed to be like him. Again, there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that we're no longer to be like the world, but to be like Christ, right? So Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, holy, acceptable to God, right? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we don't get caught up in the ways of the world. We don't allow the world to mold us into its image, but rather we transform by the scriptures to be like God, to be like Christ. Right? You want to be a child of God, then we need to look to Christ and see how he lived his life. You know, on our evening services, we've been going through the life of Christ, taking a little bit at a time, just going through it and looking to see what he did, to listen to his teachings, to follow him, to learn so that we can follow his example. And so as we take time to do that, we look at Christ and we start to think about him. Again, you have two points. You have one that is a lion. And you have another that is the lamb, right? Which one should we be? I hope that as we go through the lesson, you'll see that it's both, right? That you'll see that there's a time to be a lion and there's a time to be a lamb. There's time to be bold and there's time to be, to be eased, right? There's time to preach hard and strong, and there's the lighter lesson. We need them both. We need the lion, and we need the lamb. And so if you will open your Bibles and turn along with me as we think about the lamb in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. Mark chapter 6 and looking there and in verse 34. Look at Jesus and what he has here for the people. He has compassion for others. Mark 6 and verse 34 says, and Jesus, when he came out and saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Then we see him end up feeding them, right? He ends up feeding them physically. He ends up feeding them spiritually. That's what he's doing there, is he's teaching them. And so Jesus shows us that kindness, that love. He looks at all the people who are coming to him. They're lost. They've heard about him. They've heard about his healings. They've heard about the new teachings that Jesus is bringing. And they want to hear it themselves. They want to come and see, is he the one? Is he the Messiah? What is this new teaching that we've never heard before? And so they come to him, and Jesus sees them coming. He sees them flocking in, and they're lost because they have no shepherd. So he has compassion. And he takes the time to teach them. But I tell you, the same man who had compassion for him, we see a man that has anger at times also. Right? Just because someone gets angry does not mean they're not following in the footsteps of Christ. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, if you will. Mark chapter 3, and looking there, and in verse 5, it says, and when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to them, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Now, I don't want to dive too deep into this story because that's part of our lesson tonight. So if you'd like to hear more about that verse, please come back tonight at 5 o'clock. But Jesus healed this man. They were trying to trick him, right? And so they were trying to test our Lord and Savior. It was the Sabbath under the old law, so they weren't allowed to do any work under the old law. And so here comes Jesus into the synagogue, and they have this man. They brought this man who needed to be healed. They say, is it right or wrong to heal on the Sabbath? So Jesus questioned, you know, is it good? Is it right to do good or bad on the Sabbath? I mean, here it is. It's the day of God. Is it good for us to do good? Or should we just ignore this thing? But he knew their hearts. He looked at them. They're not willing to answer, not willing to say, it's always right to do good. I mean, it's an obvious answer. And so he was angry with them. Right? That's not what he ends up later on in something that, or earlier actually in our studies, he turns over tables. There's time for both of them, right? Here, he's doing both at the same time, actually. He's doing good to this man who has a withered hand and restoring it and healing this man. But at the same time, looking at the Pharisees, looking at the Jews, looking at those who would try to test our Lord, our God, and he's angry with them because their hearts are in the wrong place. They don't even care about this man. They don't care if he gets healed. Do we care if people actually come to Christ? Do we care if people actually hear the truth? Or sometimes it's a matter of we get caught up and just focused on thou shalt not, and what is right and what is wrong. And we forget the part of trying to actually bring people to God so that they can be healed, so that they can have their sins forgiven. So again, there's a time for both. There's a time in which righteous anger needs to rise. There's a time for compassion also. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, if you look with me there, as our Lord and Savior ends up looking at Jerusalem, looking at his people, and feeling again compassion, feeling love for them, and ends up weeping. Luke 19, and in verse 41, as it reads here, it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, that the things which make your peace, but now they hid it from their eyes. For days will come upon when the enemies will build and embark around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you in the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Right, Jesus looks at Jerusalem, and he knows what's eventually going to come to him. He looks at them and sees how they have departed from him. And he looks at them just like the verse above it, Mark, that he sees this crowd and he has compassion. He wants to teach them. He wants to hold them. He wants to protect them. That's what Jerusalem is. Jerusalem is his people, right? From the beginning of times, Jesus was there from the beginning of time. All things were created through Christ. That's meaning that as we study the Old Testament, we go through it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three were there during Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, right? They were all three there during all of that. They were all three there during the time of David and Solomon. They were there during the days of Judges, and Jesus being part of that, this is his people that he had made a covenant with, that he had promised to them that he would come, and that he would bring all nations together, and he would forgive all sins if they come and listen and obey. And yet he's looking at this nation that he's been blessing throughout all of time. And he knows what's coming up on him, and so he wept. He wept because his love for them, his concern for them, knowing that some did not have enough faith and strength when this comes upon them, that they will abandon their faith. But if they would turn to him and keep their faith, no matter what physical harm comes to them, that they would have a home in heaven. Right? There's a time for that love, a time to be more like the Lamb. But then you also see time and again that Jesus gets caught up and he's tired of dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers, those who would come and test his faith. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 23 and looking there and in verse 37.
We go to chapter 23.
23 and verse 37 says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you together, right? Gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left and desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That is not the verse that I was wanting, but I'll make it work. Verse 27 is where I was going with as he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 27 says, "Woe to the scribe and the Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, indeed appear before beautiful outwardly, but inside are dead man's bones and uncleanness. Even so, outwardly appear righteous to man, and inside you full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, because you build tombs, and the prophets adorn the mountains of the righteous, and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them the blood of the prophets.' Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself, and your sons, those who murder the prophets. Fill up the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of heaven?" Right? You read those verses, even the verses that we started with when I jumped down to verse 37. As he looks at them, you guys are the ones that have killed the prophets. Your fathers did it, and you follow right in their footsteps. He looks at the Pharisees and straight to their face, say, "You hypocrites. You hypocrites, you stand there and say, 'If we were there, we were there, we saw what Moses had done, we would have been like the Father. We want to build that image. If we were there when the prophets warned us, we would have stoned them and chased them out.'" And just say, what are you doing right now? Here Jesus is, literally in front of them, the Messiah, the Christ, presenting the truth. And he doesn't hold back. Right? Verse 37, he says, "Oh, how I'm like a mother hen, and I wish I could gather you guys all in." But at the same time, telling them straight to their face, how they are hypocrites, how they have turned from the truth, how they are just like those who they say did wrong in the past, and they're following in their footsteps, calling them serpents. And how will they even escape hell? But there's a time for both of them. Time to be a lion, time to be a lamb. Jesus took time to be with children and heal children. In Matthew chapter 19, and reading there in verse 13, Matthew 19 and verse 13, says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He laid hands on them and departed from them. Right, a loving Savior of God. What a beautiful picture as he allows the children to come. Right, and Mike said, here's the Messiah, here's the Christ. He is busy teaching. He's busy casting out demons. He's busy feeding, you can't waste your time because the little children come to him. That's what his disciples were thinking. She said, all are welcome to me. And such is the kingdom of heaven. To be children of God, to be like these children who have love and willing to share. And spends time with them and lays his hands on them, blesses them. That is who our Savior is. That's who we're supposed to be like. But also one who gets angry when people do not worship forever and corrupt his worship and prayer to God. Right? In Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and reading there, and in verse 12, as it says here, it says that Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Same person that you worship. Same person who we're supposed to be like. Right? Yes, don't. What we're supposed to love and care and weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. But at the same time, I am the same person that we're supposed to be like and who you should be. We should get upset. We should righteously get angry when we see people teaching false doctrine. When we see people come forth and say that this is all you have to do in order to be saved, and it doesn't line up with the scriptures. That you can't find the verse where it says, just say this prayer and all will be good. You can't find a verse in the scriptures that says, faith alone, that's all you have to have. You can't find it. And when someone teaches those things and it doesn't hurt, it doesn't make you upset and say, no, that's not what the Bible says. It's not what God says in His Word. It should cause us anger. And we should step up and boldly teach the truth. Stand with our God. To be like a lion, follow in the footsteps of Christ. Right, again, Matthew chapter 29. Again, Jesus, what does he do? He continues to heal others. He heals the blind man, right? And so this is not the only blind person that Jesus has healed. And so we see time and again, Jesus does these good deeds. Jesus being kind, Jesus healing, and taking our sins and our iniquities away. But then he also, as he heals the blind, he goes forth and looks again at the Jews and the scribes and Pharisees. And he's going to go forth and accuse them of being blind guides of the blind. All right? He doesn't hold back as they come forth and they're coming at him and they're teaching these things. And he said, don't follow them. They're blind. And they're leading the blind. And if a blind man leads the blind person, they're both going to run into the wall. They're both going to fall into the ditch. They're not going to make it where they're trying to go. I don't know how many people have had a blind friend. There's a preacher in Springfield, Missouri that is blind, and I got to know him when I was down in Tennessee, and spent quite a bit of time with him, and we enjoy going out and doing stuff, but you have to lead him. He puts his hand on your back shoulder, and you lead him where he's supposed to go. And when you're out public and you're going through, usually we go to Bass Pro when he's there in Springfield, Missouri, or if you're at a restaurant, you got to lead him. And you gotta tell him where the seat is, and you gotta tell him where the food is on his plate, and you gotta, you have to be able to see to tell them this stuff. You have to be able to see to lead them in the right direction. And yet here he's telling them, these people are like, they don't see the truth. They're focused on money. They're focused on fame. They're focused on people just praising them rather than praising God. And therefore, if you follow them, you too will end up incorrupt. Jesus did not hold back. Acts chapter 7, if you'll turn along with me there. I want to look at this example, and this would be the final point, one for both sides, lamb and lion. But look at Stephen. Here in Acts chapter 7, looking at Stephen, was Stephen following in the footsteps of Christ? Was Stephen being like Christ? In Acts 7, verse 60, as he is being stoned to death, what words does he say here? It says, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. When he said this, he died. Right? He died. And as he was dying, Father, forgive them. Can't deny that he was being like Christ right there. Your mind immediately goes to Jesus on the cross as he is dying on that cross. And he prays, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's easy to say that he was being like Christ at that very moment. More like that kind and loving person. Understand that loving person is going to be bold and tell the truth no matter what also. And so you go back up in the scriptures, Acts 7, and go up to verse 51, if you will. Verse 51, this is what he had said to them. After teaching and going back to Abraham and going back to Moses and teaching the truth, saying, I have denied one thing about our God. And in verse 51 it says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept. Who's he being like when you read these verses? He's being like Christ. We've already went through, right? He already went and approached them, called them blind guides, called them brood of vipers. Went forth and told them and overturned tables. Upset with him as they try to test him as he healed a man's withered hand. And so don't think that just because when one comes and teaches the truth, whether it's on salvation, divorce, homosexuality, abortion, being here for worship, that one's coming because they hate and are mad and are just trying to prove themselves right. We come in the name of the Lord, teaching the words in which he has given to us, and we boldly speak as we ought to speak. But know this, that it shouldn't just be to prove oneself right, but we're trying to lead others to Christ. That there needs to be that love and that kindness, and that if one hears the truth, as we hope they will, and they're ready to say, you know what? I see in the scriptures what you're saying. Are you ready to forgive them if they say that? Are you ready to forgive them if they say, I want to repent, I want to turn my life over to God, I want to be baptized and wash my sins away? Are we ready to receive them just as God will receive them? God will receive them. Because if you're not, then one needs to examine themselves. But if we're going to follow in the footsteps of Christ, we have to be like him. You know, we have to be like the Lamb and I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here, you know the truth. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you know what he expects from you. You're ready to put sin behind you, repent of those sins. Come forward and confess that faith and be baptized and wash those sins away. We're happy to assist you. Maybe you're not fully understanding why we say that's the steps of salvation, and you'd like to study that further. you can come forward and ask for us to study that forward, to set up a Bible study. If you're here and you have obeyed the gospel and we can pray for you or do anything else, please let it be known as we stand in the Lord.